And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's 5 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 16th of April, 2024. And you're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show here on Highland Radio. And it's another busy show keeping you right across all the main news and features affecting us here across the Northwest. We've community garda information coming up for you after 10, of course, where you hear the latest appeals and information from Ungada Chiacana. First, that and so much more besides. Your input into the conversation as well, more than welcome on 086 60 25,000. That's 086 60 25,000. You can give us a call too on 07491 25,000, 07491 25,000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. Okay. Also, if you want to watch the show, you can hop onto our YouTube channel and watch us on your smart screen TV or your Fire Stick. We are on YouTube there, Highland Radio Ireland. We're across Facebook as well, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on the X platform. All right. So much to get through, as I say, over the next wee while. And we start, as we always do, with a look at the newspapers. And, you know, one of the companies in terms of sort of customer care that we've had the greatest amount of complaints and frustration from service users is Air. And often, you know, you think it's down to, you know, maybe poor management or poor customer care training or a lack of customer care staff. And, you know, I think that's almost often what we presume it might be and people give out. But little did we know that there are some companies, Air is certainly one that's named today, that actually had a handbook to frustrate the process of making a complaint, which is really hard to swallow, isn't it? I'll read the story here from the Irish Times. A judge has labelled Air a disgrace after a court heard evidence that the telecom provider warned staff they could be disciplined for adhering to statutory regulation government customer complaints. So the staff who were charged with customer care were facing losing their jobs potentially if they actually adhered to the regulations in dealing with customer complaints. In a Dublin District Court case taken by Comreg, Air and its parent company Aircom pleaded guilty to multiple breaches of the law over its failure to acknowledge customer complaints and provide responses within turn working days, among other issues. At the hearing, Comreg produced an Air training manual, which the watchdog said warned employees they would face disciplinary proceedings if following laws covering customer complaints. The same manual also outlined trigger words that would allow people calling Air with complaints have them dealt with expeditiously, quickly, effectively. If those words were not used, concerns frequently went nowhere. The court heard that updates made by Air to its code of practice for complaints handling in January 2022 resulted in restrictions to its customers' ability to log formal complaints. Barrister Shelley Horan for Comreg outlined a sample of customers whose complaints were not dealt with by Air in accordance with regulatory code of practice. If you used words like, there were trigger words, so if you used words like, I want to log a formal official complaint and I want a case reference number, those using phrases such as I want a supervisor or I want to complain found complaints were often not dealt with. So if you actually sort of said I want to escalate this within the customer complaints process, you were actually disadvantaged. In a statement after the court case, Air said it fully complies with Comreg complaints procedures, although it acknowledged that the language previously used in training material could have been clearer in this regard. So as I say, if you've had that experience, according to the findings of that court case, it wasn't by accident. It was actually by design, remarkably. Into the Irish Independent now, and driving test waiting times will average 10 weeks by the middle of the year, we're told. We were told that last year as well. Safety chiefs have told the Taoiseach. NCT test waiting times will also be cut down to 12 days by the summer. The two promises were made at a meeting with Taoiseach Simon Harris, Ministers Helen McEntee, Eamon Ryan and Jack Chambers, and Road Safety Authority Chief Liz O'Donnell and her co-chief Sam Wade. And Gardaí O'Connell will also be asked to provide ongoing enforcement activity plans as part of efforts to tackle spiralling deaths on Irish roads this year. The RSA will spend an extra €3 million this year on road safety campaigns and education initiatives from their own reserves. It'll be interesting to see what the RSA actually believes that is. Will it be one ad, you know, that costs €500,000 to make and then spend €2.5 million on advertising? Or will they actually sort of say, well, how can we reach the demographics here properly and in a way they understand that will actually prevent or try and prevent road traffic collisions? That would be very, very interesting. And I'm sure a lot of us would actually like to have an input into that and go to a group of younger people, for an example. And I'm not saying they cause all the collisions, but they are overrepresented, you might say. And talk to them about, you know, what would work in how we message to you. Also, how do you get the messages along to pushbike riders, pedestrians, motorcyclists who are also very sadly losing their lives? How can you educate them or get through to them to ensure that they are as safe as possible out on our roads? I'll watch with interest. Unfortunately, I'm naturally, as it relates to the Road Safety Authority in this regard, pessimistic, but we shall wait and see. The authority will also be tasked with finding out what extra funds they need this year, which will come from the Department of Transport. Collision data will also be shared, and law changes will be made if necessary following proposals from the RSA-led data enabler group in the Data Protection Commission. But let's crowdthink here, you know, and you know, without necessarily being about having a go at other road users that maybe annoy us or what have you, what do you really genuinely think we could be doing or should be doing to reduce the deaths and serious injuries on our roads? What do you think might work? You know, let's hive mind it. 086 60 25000. What do you believe the Gardaí or the government that's within their power to do? What do you think they should be doing to try and reduce the amount of people dying on our roads? Staying on the roads, fears are growing of the possibility of petrol and diesel prices breaking the €2 a litre mark in the coming months. Crude oil is now expected to pass $100 a barrel, and the last time that happened in 2022, prices at the pumps went over the €2 threshold. The price of crude had already jumped 20% since the start of the year, and unrest in the Middle East is expected to send prices spiralling. That being said, things can change really, really quite quickly, and if things can calm down between Israel and Iran particularly, those prices will start falling again really quite rapidly. So fingers crossed on many levels for that. But the paper says that this is bad news for Irish motorists, with excise duty, which was cut in the wake of the energy crisis after the invasion of Ukraine, expected to be fully restored by the start of August. Fuels for Ireland chief Kevin McPartland said, "So there are a couple of things here. When we were at €2 and above a litre, it was just price of crude. Crude is bought in dollars. So you need to look at exchange rates also. But at the time, we were talking about the immediate aftermath of the invasion of Ukraine and the energy prices increasing as a result." And on it goes. I think we all kind of know what the situation is there, but we appreciate his commentary. And staying on the roads and the slowdown in a demand for electric cars, and it's not just here in Ireland, by the way, it's globally, has led to Tesla axing 10% of its staff. I don't think anyone in Ireland is affected. 14,000 workers at Tesla are losing their jobs. It's being framed as a restructuring of the company as it kicks on forward, but there's absolutely no doubt that a slowing down in demand for its vehicles and extra competition from China is resulting in them having to reduce their workforce. Electric vehicles company Tesla is to lay off more than 10% of its global workforce, according to reports. It's said to be shedding about 14,000 jobs, but it's not yet known where they will be lost across the business. Tesla, led by billionaire Elon Musk, has just recorded its first drop in vehicle deliveries for 4 years. Mr. Musk told employers in an email the company needed to be lean, innovative and hungry. He added, "There is nothing I hate more, but it must be done. I'd like to thank everyone that's departing Tesla for their work." He claims that the sort of rapid increase in staff meant there's quite a bit of an overlap in roles, and he only wants people working there that, you know, have a defined role and what have you. But it's obviously also connected to greater competition, but also a drop-off in the demand for electric vehicles. Interesting comments from Taoiseach Simon Harris yesterday. I wonder what you think of these. Maybe you've seen them already. They're not widely reported, but the reason they're not widely reported is because I suspect that the media is based in Dublin and they're probably going, you know what? What you're saying is correct there, Simon. I don't see a story in this. The Journal did cover it, however, and we're going to cover it a little bit later on. So the Taoiseach said he's of a generation more familiar with Berlin and Paris than Belfast or Derry. Harris said, we've yet to see the full benefits of the peace process. Taoiseach Simon Harris has said people of his generation are more familiar with Berlin and Paris than they are with Belfast or Derry in the north. Harris made the comments as he addressed the British-Irish Parliamentary Assembly. It was the first time he has spoken as Taoiseach at a meeting of Irish and UK parliamentarians. Harris told the audience that there's a whole generation of people who are yearning to be involved in a conversation about the future. It's a conversation about how we work together. He called for this conversation to be about practical areas. He said, also, if I'm being very honest, I'm of a generation where people are more familiar now with London and Berlin and Paris than they might be with Belfast or Derry. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. Firstly, obviously, to some extent, he may well be correct. So there are people in Dublin, Cork, Kerry, right, who perhaps haven't travelled into the north for a long time, if ever. They don't really feel a connection to it. They're close to local airports, and maybe they do fly into Europe, and maybe they are familiar with Berlin and Paris and elsewhere. But that being said, what comments like this, the reason why it upsets people, I believe, is because it ignores a whole swathe of people in the north of the country that is clearly not the case, that people, Derry and Belfast are as much a part of our lives, if not more of a part of our lives, than, say, for instance, you know, Sligo, and for some people, even Donegal Town, right, if you're in North Inishowen. So what Simon Harris is saying is perhaps partly true, in that certainly there are people in this country that have more of an affinity or more of a knowledge of European cities than Derry and Belfast. But his comments ignore, and, you know, he is a Taoiseach for all of Ireland. Again, it kind of ignores, it feels like, and I'm open to correction, and we've asked him onto the show, it feels like it ignores the lived reality of many, many people on this island. Okay, he speaks of a generation, but he's not really aware of how many people in his generation, it's completely not the case at all. And very sadly, unfortunately, there's a new generation of people that may well be less familiar with Belfast and Derry and more familiar with Sydney and Dubai and Canada and New York, which I think is something that deserves more of a conversation about. But anyway, what do you think about that? What do you think about his comments? What do you think it demonstrates, if anything? And maybe you fully agree with him, and that's perfectly fine too, of course. 08660 25000. As I say, I'm not taking them out of context. I understand that for quite a lot of people in this country, maybe he's talking to them of their generation. But the problem is like an awful lot of decisions and commentary that comes out of the capital, it ignores the lived reality of so many people here, or people from down the country who've got family in the north that are up and down visiting them every other weekend. You know, it goes, well, who are you speaking for here? So maybe he misspoke, maybe he just didn't fully get it. I don't know. I'm not here to defend him, or I'm not here to lambast him either. Just to open it up to all of you guys out there, 08660 25000. That is the WhatsApp and the text number. Right. 19,000 off waiting lists, apparently. This is in the Irish Daily Star. Nearly 19,000 patients have been removed from hospital waiting lists without seeing a doctor since the beginning of this year. Some 2,762 patients who had been waiting for procedures at Galway University Hospital were cut from the list, along with 1,626 who had been scheduled to receive treatment at Talla University Hospital. A total of over 18 or almost 19,000 individuals were removed during the first 3 months of 2024 as part of a validation process aimed at reducing waiting lists in hospitals throughout the country. Each of the patients was sent a letter by the health service asking them to confirm whether they will require the procedures for which they were waiting. When no response was received, a reminder was issued after 2 weeks, and another 2 weeks they were removed from the waiting list. So I'm just slightly concerned, though it might not be an issue. A lot of people from this part of the world maybe are waiting in procedures in Galway University Hospital. They claim to have sent a letter out and then another letter out, and then 2 weeks after that, people, 2,762 of them were taking off waiting lists for procedures at Galway University Hospital. I just hope those letters were recorded and those letters went to the right addresses, and that we don't have people listening to this show today that, unknowns to themselves, have been taken off the hospital waiting list. Irish Daily Mirror. A man has appeared in court after being charged with stealing almost €2,000 from a church while a funeral was taking place. Arenus Mathras appeared at Letterkenny District Court, charged that on April 14th at St Eunan's Cathedral, he did steal property, to wit, €1,754.55 and £6.13 sterling, the property of parish priest Monsignor Kevin Gillespie. It follows an incident during midday mass at the cathedral yesterday, during which a large sum of cash was stolen from the sacristy of the church. It happened just moments after mass, while a funeral was taking place. The accused, 43 of Fortwell, Letterkenny, was arrested a short time later and taken to Letterkenny Garda Station for questioning. He appeared before Judge Etain Cunningham. Garda Sergeant Maurice Doyle said evidence of arrest, charge and caution of the accused had been given by way of schedule. The court was told that directions had been forwarded from the DPP, who has decided to deal with the case by way of summary disposal in the district court. Defence Solicitor Mr Patsy Gallagher said the accused is a foreign national from Poland and that there will be a plea to in the case. However, while he said he had instructions, he added he would like an interpreter and was requesting an adjournment. He also said he was seeking a probation report, adding that his client has no previous convictions. 086 60 25,000, that's our WhatsApp and text number. The Kirloch of Donegal County Council is Fine Gael Councillor Martin Hardy is with me now. Good morning to you, Martin. How are you getting on?
Morning, Greg. Morning, listeners.
Good to have you on the show. Right, OK, we're a few months in now into the deposit return scheme, and you've been speaking about it. You don't believe it's working very well. Talk to me about your concerns.
Yeah, I just feel, I know we're only 2 months, it started on the 1st of February. I just feel that it may be affecting small businesses that can't afford to put in the machines. A few of my concerns as well, it's most for statistics-wise, there's 1.9 billion bottles and cans that are sold in Ireland every year. The first month of February, the only figures I have to date are the first month of February, only 2 million bottles and cans were recycled. Okay, then the first 10 days of March, there was 3.2 million. That was a big raise, but it's still 3.2 million. If you multiply that over a year, it only works out at 116 or 117 million, which is way short of the 1.9 billion that is sold. But my big concern is that I'll be talking to different people. Is it the small retailers that sell, that they have to put the extra 15 and 25 cents onto the bottles and cans, is that they can't afford machines. Machines cost around 40 to 50,000. And that people will take the plastic bottles back to the multinationals and do their shopping there.
Yeah, so because for people who aren't aware of it, you don't get handed cash, do you? You get a printout and you can take that to the till and you can exchange it to your shopping. So you could have someone who is buying all of their soft drinks in the local shop that doesn't have a return machine and takes them all for their weekly shop and deposits that deposit effectively into the multinationals' pockets rather than into the local retailer.
Yeah.
But has the local retailer not already benefited, though, or not already out of pocket? Because they've sold the product, you know, the deposit's on it. They're not really at a loss, are they?
Well, a lot of them are at a loss because a lot of them may not have put up their product. A lot of them may have taken the hit themselves. They may not have put on the 25 cents and 15 cents onto the product. I mean, that's my worry as well, because at the same time, it's a very competitive market out there. So everybody's trying to hold on to the customers that they have. And so that's my worry as well. So I just feel that I think there needs to be more publicity on this, and then I feel as well that possibly that you should be able to, wherever you deposit an item, you should be able to use that receipt wherever you want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe there should be more, like the recycling centres, maybe there should be more places like that. You can go on and you get an all-for-one voucher that you can use at whatever store you want to use it in. So I just feel that that should be more, I think there needs to be more.
But you're asking the big business then to take it a hit. They'll never sign up for this. Now, maybe I'm different to the vast majority of the population, but if I wanted a can of Coke, or a bottle of Coke, right, I'm not going to go into Lidl to get it, for an example, because, you know, obviously you'd have to walk through the door and all the, you know what I mean? It's not quick. So I'll go to a local shop and I'll grab a can of Coke there or a bottle of Coke there. Now, I may well then, when I'm doing my weekly shop, let's just presume that's where I shop, that's when I might try and get my deposit back. So really what you're asking the big business to do here is to subsidise the smaller businesses. They're never going to sign up for that.
No, but it's not even that as well, Greg. What I found as well was that I talked to somebody there last week was that they went to a multinational store and done the recycling. They did not want anything at that particular moment from the shop, but they went to another shop belonging to the same multinational, and they went to the desk and they produced their receipt and they said, "No, sorry, you didn't recycle that here." So I think that's wrong. It was the same multinational. So, but plus as well that I feel that I'm not asking the multinationals to sign up to this. I'm asking that the recycle, reuse, that we make it more accessible for the small businesses,
mm-hmm.
and we give them a chance as well, because this is important, because we're going to end up losing jobs as well, not just. So that's important. We have to look at all. We have to look at all the things.
Do you think the system then, as a whole, is working, and the small businesses then are the victim of success? Because what I'm hearing is a lot of people are storing these bottles. You see people, like I've seen it with myself recently, where someone lands at one of these machines with two massive plastic bags full of the stuff. They flutter around at the machine and then end up walking off with the two bags because the machine's out of order or it's not playing ball with their bottles.
Yeah. Well, suppose there's you have to feed the machine slowly, Greg.
Mm.
I found it because I've tried to use it myself just so I get a better understanding of it myself. So you have to feed the machine slowly. The product you're putting in, you have to put the base of the product in first, not the top of it. And if you try to feed the machine too quickly, it will jam and it will stay out of order. But when I do find, in fairness to some of the places now, was that they would have somebody on hand pretty quickly to sort the issue out. But that may not happen in all the places.
Do you know what's being done with all the money collected? Obviously, there's only a fraction of these bottles actually being recycled at this point. Do we know what's happening to the money that's being taken off the consumer?
No, well, that was another point that I raised as well, was that as the case now that the multinationals are going to make an extra money out of it as well, because and I know myself from being in business over 30 years, is that when I would have started in business over 30 years ago, the amount of bottles that went back to the supplier was about 85 to 90% of the bottles went back. Now, at this particular moment, the only products that go back to the supplier now are Bulmers products.
Right.
And no one, every other thing has gone into waste. So I don't see that. To me, it's the multinationals are not taking more. They should be taking more responsibility.
That's quite worrying. That's my opinion. Okay. I mean, lots of people that can pick holes in this. I mean, is it not possible, though, that maybe some of these small businesses could actually take these bottles themselves? Is there no way? I thought there was a system whereby they could store them and then they could give them back in plastic bags. Is that not an option?
Yeah, well, I would have signed up to that scheme myself, but To date, no, we have not got no. We've had no feedback on it.
So you have a lot of plastic bottles just knocking around the place.
Another point is as well, Greg. I just felt it's something that I thought of myself, and I don't know whether it would work or not. That towns that have chamber of commerce that they could have a recycling place, and you could go in there and do your recycling. And the receipt that you get back, you could use it in whatever store you wanted to use.
Yeah, I think that's a critical point that you're making, that you should be able to do with the money what you wish, because it is your money, isn't it? Okay.
Yes, because you spent the money on the product. Yeah. You paid for it, no matter where you paid for it, but you should be able to spend it wherever you want to spend it. You shouldn't be just pushed into the big multinationals.
All right, okay. Well, we'll see what the public think as well. Thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Councillor Martin Harley there, Cahirlock of Donegal County Council. Some of your comments coming in on that already. Greg, where will all the unclaimed deposits for this go? New recycling scheme be going to? There'll be millions involved over time. I would say we're not far off that already. This has just turned out to be another tax. It may have seemed like a good idea to someone somewhere, but it is too awkward for people with not enough machines, and people won't bother. You can do a return bottles and cans and take the cash. Most shops do allow this. Okay, I've not heard of this. Can you? Is that your experience? I'm not doubting the listener for a second, but they say you can return the bottles and the cans and take cash. Can you leave a bag with someone behind the till to deposit the bottles? If the shop doesn't have a machine, the shop can give you the money back themselves. That's a question I put to Martin. He's signed up for it, but I think he's waiting on someone to come around and collect them. Hi, littering from your car is a €500 fine. In the UK, this money is being given to local councils to encourage them to act. Now, some are encouraging people to upload their videos from dash cams showing people littering. Another, what about people who have to buy bottled water for drinking because of the lack of water supply or water quality in their area? Indeed, I can see why that would be great. Another, what about the recycling fee I pay in restaurants? Who's getting the money back there? If it's on bottles, one can only presume, and maybe foolishly, that it is going, that they get it back. But I see your point there, actually. You're not getting it back. It's going to the restaurant. Of course it is. Sorry, I just worked that out. I was reading it. A caller says, Greg, do you know how much of a parachute payment an outgoing county councillor receives? Off the top of my head, I don't, but it is considerable. I'll get those figures for you. I have figures in my head, okay, but I want to make sure I read the right figures. So bear with me. I'll find that out for you in the next wee while. A caller says, it's a pity that we don't have an energy regulator that can hold the government accountable for putting a price hike on our electricity bills. They claim that this is fraud. I got a letter from a consultant 2 days ago asking if I still wanted my appointment. I have a heart condition called defib. I'm supposed to be seen every 6 months. I haven't received a letter in a year. I have a lifelong condition and they were going to cancel my appointment. That's something that just people have to be careful of to make sure they're not taken off the lists by accident. I was looking at the news and Minister Humphreys and Harris introduced the hot meals programs to school, and that's great, but I'm a school cleaner and my hours have been cut. Did anyone else's school cleaning hours get cut? We don't get enough hours for all the work that we do. I was getting 11 hours and now I'm down to 9, which is quite a significant reduction in your hours. Is this one school and one cleaner, or has school cleaning hours been cut across the board? Please let us know. 086 60 25,000. Okay, time to unmute in Buncrana because we're saying good morning now to transition year students at Skullmore Buncrana, Eva Graham. Hi, Eva. You have to unmute for me, please, one of you. Thank you so very much. Eva Graham, good morning. Hi, to you. How are you getting on?
We're getting on good.
And also, Ruby Gillespie. Good morning to you, Ruby.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing
Thanks
good.
For having us.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. And you are the YSI, or part of the YSI Teen Spirit Project in Skullmore, Buncrana. Eva, do you want to start off and tell us a little bit about this project? Or Ruby, whoever, either to you. Go ahead.
We're taking part in the Young Social Innovators Programme, and our group is called Teen Spirits, and we're focusing on raising awareness around alcohol. As on the 31st of March this year, there has been 58 deaths on Irish roads. That's 16 more than this time last year. Speeding and intoxication were key factors, Earlier this year, the Road Safety Authority and Christina McLenney, the Donegal Officer for Alcohol and Drugs, visited us and enlightened us on the dangers, and that encouraged us to try and make a difference.
Yeah, and how are you going about doing that? Sorry, are you, which put your hand up, Eva. Which one? Okay, just so I know which is which. Okay, Eva, tell us how you're going about doing this, please.
So one way we've decided to try to tackle the issue is that we created our own beer mats. So one of our students, Ethan, designed a QR code, and this QR code links to local taxi services. So what we've done here is we've made beer mats, and we're planning to distribute them to all the pubs and hotels in Buncrana. So what we did to start off this project is we rang up taxis and asked if we could put their number in the beer mats, and most of them said yes. So when we put these in the pubs, people will be able to scan a lift home with their phone just by scanning the QR code, and it'll help them ring a taxi for a lift home. We're hoping that it'll prevent drinking and driving or people trying to attempt to walk home in unsafe conditions.
Yeah. And Eva, yeah. Eva, is when they scan it, is it just telephone numbers or is there any advice about it?
Numbers,
or?
Yeah.
So it's just simply the numbers, which is great. Okay, fantastic.
Yes, you can just click the button and it'll ring the taxi for you.
And did you come up with this idea yourselves?
We did, yeah.
Right, okay. It's fantastic. So all the beer mats around the pubs in Buncrana have the QR code. You easily take a picture or scan it and instantly you've got a whole list of numbers.
We're actually hosting a launch party today where we've invited all the pub owners and hotel owners in, and we're planning to distribute them, so they should be in all the pubs and hotels soon.
And Ruby, it also maybe reminds people or starts that conversation about maybe getting into a car with someone who's had a drink, you know, too many people in a vehicle, or as your colleague Eva said there, you know, risking the walk home in dark conditions and maybe going out clothes that could leave you vulnerable to other road users.
Yeah, so that's like our main issue. We just really want to reduce. We really just want people to be safe and get home safe all night, so.
And also, Ruby, there's also leaflets going out as well. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we designed a brochure to send to all the schools in Donegal. There are three sections on our brochure: the effects and consequences, some did you know facts, such as in Ireland more people have died from alcohol than all other illegal drugs combined. And that really shocked us and showed us just how dangerous alcohol really is. And when you binge drink, your brain struggles to send messages to the heart and lungs, which can be fatal. We have narrowed it down to 5 red flags. Do you, your friends or family members show these red flags around alcohol? You should talk to someone and get some advice.
Do you get injured often on nights out? Do you often lose belongings? Do you fall out with friends and family members? Do you spend more money than others on a night out because you just can't stop drinking? To anyone listening today, if you recognise one of these red flags, please don't be afraid to reach out and seek some help.
On our brochure, we also have a QR code with the alcohol helplines. For example, Alateen is a helpful resource for teenagers who are struggling with alcohol abuse. We want young people to think before they drink.
And, like, it's been helpful having this conversation as well, I presume, you know, I mean, not amongst yourselves because this is something you're interested in, but generally amongst younger people, I think these conversations are easier, or maybe they're listened to more if it's your peers talking to you and it's not sort of older people speaking down to you. So you're sort of taking control of this conversation, which I think is the right way to do it.
Yeah, definitely, because we're actually planning to go into different classes in the school and talk about this.
So we've organized lesson plans, which we're going to do right before summer, because during the summer, young people might be tempted to, you know, go out and drink. But we have presentations, and we're going to go around like the wellbeing classes in our school and hand out our brochures and just warn them on the dangers.
Yeah, and Eva, this is not necessarily, I mean, there's a reality here, right? Young people, some young people are going to drink. Many, many, many young people don't drink, by the way, and that's often not talked about. But they are going to drink. And the message simply is here is if you're drinking so much that it's raising these red flags, there's an issue there. Yeah. You know what I mean? And also to, if you are out socializing, whether you're drinking or not for that matter, you know, you want to get home safe. And it's not just, and I think it's not just safety in terms of, you know, the drinking element of it. It's good that people get home safe, get a taxi in case something else might happen to them. So, you know, it's not like telling people, you know, well, you can't do that and you can't do this and you can't do the other. But it's saying if you're going to do it responsibly and make sure you're safe.
Yeah. So we're definitely not trying to tell people not to drink, but we're just trying to warn them.
Make them aware so they can make an informed choice about it.
All right. Good stuff. So today, 12:15, you're having an event to launch the QR code, beer mats and the leaflets. I think the QR code and the beer mats is a really, really fantastic idea. Genuinely. And also then brochures being sent out to all schools, which I think is very worthwhile. And then you mentioned the talks too. So we've covered it all. Listen, the YSI Teen Spirit Project, fair play to you and fair play to all the teachers and Maria Boyce there supporting you in TY. It's a good one.
Yeah. We'd also like to thank our local county councillor, Rena Donaghy, who funded our project and helped us reach a wider audience.
All right, good stuff. Well done to you. Go ahead. Sorry, Ruby.
Thank you for having us on, and we're grateful we reached a wider audience thanks to Highland Radio.
Now, you read that. I hope you bloody believe it, and it's not just something you were told to say.
Deep down.
Okay. Listen, thanks very much, guys. Well done. Brilliant. I love it. Great ideas. That's the excellent Eva Graham and Ruby Gillespie. And I think teacher Marie Boyce was in and around the background there, giving the girls a bit of support. Not that they needed it. They were fantastic, weren't they? Balumi Dubi is the Think Equality and Development Officer with the Donegal Intercultural Platform. And he's in studio with me. Good morning to you, Balumi.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Thanks so much for joining us. And you really are out endorsing and backing the comments of the Fawcett Trade Union leader. This on a greater need for diversity in the public sector. Talk to me about where we're at, where you believe we need to be.
I suppose we need equal representation of all groups in Donegal and well across Ireland. Our belief is that the island is diverse and that should be represented in all sort of facets of social life. So even within employment circles as well, that there should be a reflection of that because we run the risk of creating a social underclass of people that are not represented in areas where in decision-making sort of platforms. Yeah.
And some might say, with the best will in the world, no, I'm in this job for all. But really, I suppose, unless you are part of our community or that community, really, you want to be advocating on behalf of your community rather than asking members of another community necessarily to do that.
I assuming that there are certain groups that are not part of the community, you know. So is that the assumption that you're making? Sorry, I didn't get that.
Make it very clear. Yeah. I mean, like you could have, my point being is that the only way I think if I were a member of a minority community, the only way I would truly feel represented is if I saw people similar to me in these positions.
True. That's very true. I suppose people tend to sort of feel comfortable and have faith in systems where they know that there are people that look like them that also have got the same feelings as they have. So the absence of people that look like you in an institution also reduces the faith that you have in that institution. So by employing groups, particularly from the BME community, including travelers and Roma, you're actually, cultivating this idea of diversity and the fact that everybody can be treated equally. Yes,
I presume and I would hope that when jobs are advertised or if there's elected roles that are available, that, you know, everyone can apply, regardless of what community you are a part of. Do you think that's happening? In other words, do you think members of the BME community, travellers, member of the Roma community, need to also be putting themselves forward for these posts? Or do you think they need to be sought out?
I think you obviously have to create proactive, you need proactive approaches to this because I suppose there's not one person to blame. If we were to blame the community itself for not applying, then we'll be saying, well, it's your fault. That's the reason why this is happening. But you need to create systems that actually encourage people to apply.
So we've seen recently with the Gardaí where in the last couple of rounds of recruitment, they actively targeted different communities. That's what you're talking about, is it?
So it should be a scientific approach, really active approach to encourage certain groups of people to actually apply. And also understanding why they've not been applying, if that's the case, or why they've not been recruited. Because in this case, we don't know whether it's a question of them not applying or is them not being recruited as such. So you need to create a system where you actually know the reason why, or even
people could perceive there's no point in me applying, so I don't have a chance.
Yes.
Now, that could be a false assumption, but it has to be challenged so we get to where we are.
Yes.
There's a quote here, if people can't see minority faces, people like themselves in these institutions, they will not have faith, they will not feel included. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
I suppose there's a lot of truth in saying that. People feel strongly represented where they find faces that are familiar or faces that look like them. So what we find in Donegal, or particularly in public institutions or public entities, that's where the biggest problem is. And not all of them anyway, because remember, with the health sector, you find that there are more than 117 people from different nationalities. You know, 117.
Almost overrepresented.
And also what you find in those particular institutions where there's diversity, you find that there's an overload of creativity as well. There's different, that's exactly the places where we need to go and learn how they are doing it and how it's functioning. And in fact, use that as an example of how systems can be better if they've got diverse groups of people,
And a lot of work is happening in that regard through NGOs in the communities and what have you. But really, it's taking a look now and throwing the focus over to public sector, public recruitment, and saying, look, this is what's happening, on a voluntary basis or in communities. You need to be doing something more formally here.
Yes, I find that we at Donegal Intercultural Platform, we are part of the BME strategy to inclusion. And one of the things that we're driving is that this should not be a task that should be done by NGOs, because we have done quite a lot of, advocating for groups, the minority groups. And that cuts across all 10 groups, across 10 grounds of discrimination. We're not just saying that they should be BME groups and that. We're saying that everybody, that minority groups that have not been included, whether it's the disabled or the LGBTQI plus, any groups that feel that they are on the periphery of, of being included, but that they are not being included. So public entities should represent all those groups of people that have not been a part of, employment so far.
All right. As I say, it was Forza that was speaking out on this, and you, Bellumi, as part of the Donegal Intercultural Platform, backing what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. We shall see. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
Nothing much, but just the fact that you've got about 11,477 people who are born outside the state and that live here in Donegal. And that says a lot in terms of what work needs to be done and the kind of representation that needs to be there within public entities. There's still a lot of work to be done, and that's not work that should be done by NGOs only, but it should cut across society. Yes.
Okay, listen, thank you very much for that. Thanks for calling up. That's
thank you,
Bellumi Dubey there, who is a Think Equality and Development Officer with the Donegal Intercultural Platform. 086 6020 5000 is the WhatsApp and text number if you want to talk on that, or call us on 07491 25000. Just one comment there as it relates to the local authority councillors who lost their seat or retired. This after the last elections, there is a severance payment, and it's almost as high as those for former government ministers. This was part of an investigation done by one of the newspapers. A councillor who served just one term of 5 years and who lost their seat or otherwise decided to quit gets a lump sum of 16,724. If they serve two terms over 10 years, they get 33,448, and the payments rise on up in five-year hitches of to 63,968 for those who have served 40 years on the council. So those are the payments that were received after last term's local elections. Back with more after the news and obituary notices.